Hello, everyone. Welcome to Season 2, Episode 5 of the Weekly Nightly Podcast. I'm AJ, and, well, fuck. Everybody else is being is trolling me.
I am Carlo.
Hey, guys. This is Eric.
And this is Dave.
All right. We got the F-bomb out of the way, so let's go over the series with the Oats. What do you guys think of everything that's been happening over the past week?
I think we talked about it last Sunday, and I know when we had Rich and Corey on, I kind of said 3-1 is what Vegas needed to do. Obviously, when you win the first two at home, you really hope that you can maybe win the next two. But look, it's still professional hockey, right? That team still has a lot to play for, and it's early in the season, so they're not just going to roll over. So they had a great pushback in game three, but I think all in all, you cannot be anything other than happy for coming out of that four-game series, or whatever you want to call it, three wins and one loss, especially not giving them anything in overtime either. They didn't – or did they have one overtime loss?
Yeah, the game three, I don't think Vegas played very well, but I think it was more than Arizona playing really well. Like, it was more Arizona playing well than Vegas playing bad, because I think Arizona really took over that game. And then game four, Vegas really pushed back, and I thought it was one of their best games, even though they only scored one goal.
Yeah, and there was no overtime loss or overtime besides no, there was no overtime at all.
Yeah, I was just a little. It was going back to the Anaheim series that we won that game in overtime,
and that was only like 7 seconds of overtime. So Vegas has really tried to avoid it, apparently. But
I mean, last year they were bad. So
well, remember when I think it was all four of us went to that like game, the 3-game streak where they lost in overtime 3 times in a row. Like it was like October or November of the 1920 season, I remember. But yeah, that was the Turk days. So yeah, I mean, I agree, Eric. I thought that going, you know, 3-1 would be awesome. And, you know, I was about to send out a tweet before Carlson scored. So we're recording this right after the Sunday game. So right before Carlson scored, I was like, had a tweet ready to be like, you know, I'm really hoping we can go 3-1, but 2-1-1 would be kind of okay. And then, you know, they scored and won in regulation with, you know,
and I know we'll recap all the games kind of individually, but just that, Carlson's shot was not going in if, Goligoski's stick did not get in the way. Like he tipped that in for us to get the win.
Hey man, dirty goals. We need those.
That was, know. It was very dirty.
Any goal counts.
Yeah. They all count. They all count as one.
They never ask how many.
So let's go through the games just in order real quick. So last Monday we had the 4-2 Vegas win. And that was the one where Arizona was actually up in the first part of the game, 2-0. Right. And so, it was one of those games that kind of trended like the Anaheim game, one of the Anaheim games where we're kind of playing from behind, but they had a really, really strong third, I remember. And, it was an interesting one.
Yeah. It was a rough start. I think it was like we were down 2-0 and then we tied it and then they just took over the third, and it was like once the third period started it wasn't even close. That's what I remember,
because they completely dominated that third period.
The Knights has been a third period team this whole time.
You know what they season. Haven't been? They haven't been a second period team.
Yeah,
second period.
Shit. Yeah. I think they've had like one good second period. And that was this game. And they didn't even score a goal.
I was going to say that predates DeBoer. I mean, they've been a bad second period team for a long, long time. I don't understand it. Is it because the long change and they're just not good other when they can't be in transition? I don't know. It's a weird thing.
That's about the only thing I think of is just the transition from the long change. But, you know, like you said, the last couple of years they've been like that. The first year they were a great second period team. But then since then, second periods have just been shit.
Oh God, guys! Dave saying we need all the original Misfits back. Go get James Neal on that terrible deal. We need Lucas Spisa back. Go get
especially
Perron.
Lucas Spisa.
And then Leipzig.
Way Leipzig. To put words.
We should have
Colin
taken
Miller. Hey, hold on. Colin Miller had a power play goal today, guys. So Colin Miller might
actually
help us.
So that's
hit the
net.
Yeah,
that's
good.
One for 800,000 on you know scoring percentage.
You know,
was it the right net and the right goal, or was it in a different building when it went through the roof?
You know who else scored a power play goal recently?
Cody Glass.
Cody Glass. Yeah. Took him out the lineup the next day.
Yeah, and that was in the loss, right? That was
finally. Yeah, that was in the loss. Yeah, it was the loss.
So yeah, that well, I think the Wednesday game, the second of the four games, that was probably the most dominant effort, right? Like they just they came out with about 10 minutes into the first period or a little bit less and scored. Yeah, and then
man. Actually, even though it was 1-0, I think the most dominant game was today. I think Sunday was your best game. That 5-2 game, I mean, you let some bad goals in. You really didn't play dominating until the third period. Whereas today, I mean, going into the third period, they had 11 shots on goal. So I think if you're looking for a game to say, hey, let's go play that way, even though it was low event hockey, it was this game. We had opportunities on the rush. They just either shot when they should have passed or passed when they should have shot.
And then Kemper also being really, really good. We had so many really good shots. I remember that one power play opportunity where Carlson was just right in front of the net from Stone. But Kemper was right there. This game was 1-0 because of Kemper, to be honest.
Yeah, with you. And then there was that 90-second cycling of the puck and taking a bunch of shots with the misfit Marchie Carlson Stone.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Smith flying and man, like they had what? Probably three like grade A chances on that play or that whole possession time. And oh man, I was getting so stressed, like getting flashbacks of like the freaking, Vancouver and Dallas series with how good Kemper was playing.
It'll be nice to not play Arizona again until April. I think we don't play them in like for months now because you got four out of the way. It'll just be nice to not play them. And I know a lot of people have said that, but don't freak out over the power play and how bad it was because Arizona, and Dave mentioned this in our group chat, Arizona's PK is probably going to be the best this year in the league, and it's been a top five for the last 3 years.
Yeah.
Arizona does a really, really good job of getting bodies in lane, getting sticks in passing lanes. They are very, very good at that. And the last three or four seasons, Arizona's penalty kill has been one of the tops in the league.
Go ahead. 5-1 now against two of the most elite goaltenders that are also in our division this season. So, I mean, that's awesome. Imagine what they're going to do to Jordan Binnington.
I was going to say that the last two teams we have are really good goaltending, but the next few teams, we play Binnington and then we play Dubnyk and then Jones after that. And then we play Quick. Quick has been okay this season. Their team just bad. But I think we'll have better power play results at this next few series, to be honest with you, and even more goal scoring because I don't think the next few teams are very good at defense, especially the Sharks. Wow.
What defense?
Yeah, exactly. They don't have any defense.
Yeah, well, they only play five defensemen a game, right? As you say, Carl.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they go 13-5 every game. Only they actually do it a different way. Not to get too far ahead, but I was looking at the schedule last night. I assumed Vegas would win today. Look, I get I'm a sunshine pumper, whatever you want to call it. I'm a glass half full when I look at this team. I get that. But when you start looking at the next, I mean, you got, okay, two versus St. Louis at home. Let's say you split that one, right? Like, let's give them one, sure. Yep. Then two against San Jose, two against the Kings, and two against the Ducks again. You're probably going 5-1 out of those. And that's probably.
And a note on that San Jose game, because they're going to be playing it in Gila River Arena.
Yep. So you're back in – you don't even have to travel very far. And those – the last four, the ones that I said, L.A. and Anaheim, those are back at home. So, I mean, if you're going 7-2 when you're already 5-1 before you play Colorado, I mean
– yeah.
You could be 12-4, I mean, 13-3. I mean, it's going to be good.
Speaking of Colorado, though, because they have been really suspect the past few games because they score a lot, but their defense is very suspect. Like their young defenseman is not really playing that well in the defense. Their forwards are always going forward. Their goaltending has been very, very suspect. Vegas is obviously the most complete team in this division. We've been saying that this whole time. It's hard to find holes in this Vegas team except when they play only five defensemen.
Well, I think to talk on Colorado for a second, because obviously that's who we think will be the biggest. I think Colorado's going to struggle more than people think going into this year because the point that you just made on their defense, and it's not just that they are elite level, right? Yeah. Bowen Byram, Cale Makar, Devon Taves, Samuel, is it Gerard? I mean, they are absolutely elite level, but they're all like 6'1" or under. They're all small. I mean, they're going to get bodied when they play St. Louis, who's a big body team, Vegas, who's a big body team. I mean, I think that is what's going to hurt them playing in the West. Not necessarily their, I mean, their goaltending situation's not good because their backup's already hurt. So
Minnesota, yeah. though. Sneaky.
Yeah.
I don't even understand Minnesota. I mean, I would love to find out why Minnesota's doing as well as they are, because they lost.
It's the teams they played, though.
Yeah, they're just having a good start, I think.
Yeah.
Like, they're playing the Sharks, they played Arizona, so they're playing teams that aren't, like, you know, the cream of the crop, I guess.
Did they go San Jose Kings and then Sharks, yeah. or Arizona Kings Sharks now?
Ducks, I think they played the Ducks.
Okay, maybe it wasn't the Ducks, the King, not the Kings.
The Sharks are now, like, they're playing the Sharks yeah. today, I believe.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't say that for us, too, because yes. we played the Ducks in Arizona. Yeah.
I joked about it last podcast, and I've joked about it before. I mean, we had a 6-game preseason, and we went 5-1 through it, and it actually counts for the regular season.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, so Minnesota's running through California right now.
Okay.
They haven't played Arizona yet. It's Kings, Ducks, Sharks, and then Kings again.
Oh, it was the Ducks, not the yeah. Yotes. So.
Okay.
So yeah, I think that they'll have a little bit more trouble with the Yotes than the Kings, Ducks, and Sharks. But you know, Arizona can definitely steal at least a game from the Wild. I would think.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's going to be interesting
game from anybody.
I definitely think that the Wild might end up having a pretty decent spot in the standings because there's not that much. They might get fourth place, I think.
Well, one of those five teams had to, right? It was either going to be Arizona. It's going to be who can do what the Wild is currently doing, right? Which is take advantage of the bad teams and beat the teams you're supposed to beat. Arizona, whether they can, or San Jose, or I mean, Minnesota's doing it right now, so that's all you can say is that's who's going to win the fourth spot if they can just take advantage of the bottom feeder four teams.
And the Habs are
obviously whoever is the hottest team down the stretch.
Well, the Habs don't have to play Detroit, so they're obviously going to be good this season.
yeah, that's true. Four extra wins for them.
the one crazy thing, Ben Goetz from on Twitter. As they were going into the third period, and I mean, it's just crazy to think about, the season's 10% over already.
Yeah.
Like, there's 168 periods if you don't count overtime or anything like that, and they had played 17 periods going into that third period. I mean, how is it 10% over already? It's just crazy.
Wow.
Yeah, it's such a shortened season, but that's why winning this game in regulation really helps the Golden Knights too, because you do not want, like, this one of the seasons, this season especially, you do not want to win in overtime because you're giving a point to your rivals, because all these points stay in the division.
Yeah, you don't want the loser point. You don't want let your division get a loser point.
Yeah, because that helps them. Yeah,
Fleury's been pretty spectacular this season so far, isn't he?
Yeah, Fleury's been amazing. I think Leonard had a difficult game last game, but I think other than that, he's been pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good problem to have with how compact this season is, I think.
Yeah, so far this season, I think Fleury has been the better goalie, to be honest with you, especially with the game today. If you add it all together, but I'm not saying Leonard is bad. These two are just really, really good goalies, you know.
We're trying to get past Belfour in the record book.
Yeah.
I mean, I understand what you're saying, but how many shots did he actually end up facing? No. I mean, it was 11 going into the third, so he faced under 20.
He also made really big saves, though. Like, had really good opportunities to make those saves.
I can remember a couple. He had really big saves. No, I thought he was good. He's definitely been, he's been the steadier goalie, I think, right now. Mm-hmm. I mean,
because last game, I thought Leonard let in a few soft ones. To be honest with you, I think it was the Brassard goal where he was too far out of his crease, which is not his game at all. And then he beat him. He lost his angle.
The big shot, yeah.
Yep. Yeah, and then lost his angle, and he got scored on. That was not Leonard's game. I thought he should have had that if he stayed. He stuck with his positioning.
Fleury faced 16 shots for the whole game.
Holy crap. and Leonard, I'm used to seeing, like, inside of the net, like it's his own court or something, versus being that far out.
So. Yeah, I think a couple of the goals that Leonard has let up are just, and keep in mind, he's still learning the system, guys. I mean, yeah, he's been on this team for almost a calendar year, but he hasn't played 50 games with the system by any stretch of the imagination. So that miscommunication a couple games ago where he went behind the net and Petro followed him down and they kind of ran into each other and that led to a goal. I think it's just you're still working out kinks, so it's great to be 5-1 while you're working out kinks.
Yeah, I don't know about the Leonard system thing because I think everybody's around the same boat because it wasn't that far behind because Pete DeBoer took over. When Pete DeBoer took over, and it was like only a few games when Leonard came in. So I
think they're all learning, still learning a new system, but also Leonard came from a completely different system. Chicago was, I mean, the DeBoer to Turk wasn't that big of a difference on the defensive side. Keep in mind, they kept the defensive coaches, right? They still kept Mike Kelly, who runs the defense. So I think a lot of those things still hold true, right? I mean, early in the year last year, they made Turk go to a zone system because he wanted to play man-to-man. That was another reason when you could start seeing that Turk was going to get let go because he wasn't running a system that the GMs wanted him to run.
On that one play in particular, though, you know, you said Petro. Well, Petro played 6 games for us, so it could have been more about his miscommunication than it was Leonard.
Yeah, speaking of Petro, though, because I think the fourth game, the one we lost, I thought he had I don't think he had a really good game. And I think part of that was because of he is learning system and having the 5 defensemen thing is really not helping him at all because they keep switching defensive partner when you're rotating that direction. And sometimes he's there with Theodore, sometimes he's there with McNabb, sometimes he's there with White Cloud.
Sometimes he's playing the left, sometimes he's playing the right.
Really not helping him. And I felt like going 5 defensemen is really – they need to stop that. I know I want Glass to play, but
– yeah, we can cover that now, but I could not agree more. Like, look, everybody understands where I am on Glass, right? Like, I'm still one of the very few that think that he can develop into a first-line center. Like, I think he can still be a stud. So I get that. So take my critique with a grain of salt if you want. But I don't want him ever to go back to 13-5. Figure out another way to get Glass in the system. I mean, 1 year or 56 games or whatever, or until the playoffs isn't going to kill Glass. But they need to not ever go 13-5 again. That was it. The first 2 games were not very good. They just happened to win them. And then obviously the game that they lost was a complete shit show. So, Dave, I know you've seen it obviously more than us. I mean, where do you stand on 13-5?
13-5 is the worst thing I've ever seen in my entire time of watching hockey. It's not just messing with just a couple of players. It's messing with the entire team. Yeah. I mean, you have a different defensive pairing like every other shift, it seems like, and they don't know what to do. They don't know how to react to their partner because they don't know who they're out there with. It seems like.
Yeah, that's the biggest problem for me.
They wouldn't be in this problem had they just kept elite multiple position scorer John Merrill.
That's true. John Merrill could have just played as your winger on the fourth line, and then
certainly out in COVID protocol.
And what's frustrating me most about Cody Glass is also the fans with Suzuki is that because they're saying like we should have traded Glass because like here's my thing with that though is that Glass is not even getting an opportunity. That's what's frustrating me the most. You know what I mean? Suzuki looks really good, but we don't know if it was Glass that was traded.
Montreal had room in their top 6 exactly. for a player.
Even the most ardent Glass supporter in myself, right now Suzuki is off to a much better start.
Yeah, here's what I'm saying though. If it was Glass that we traded, we could be talking about like how Glass had such a great start, and then we can't give Suzuki ice time here. It's always hindsight 2020. You don't know what would have happened.
Agreed.
Give Glass a chance, see how he compares. Then maybe we could talk about it. I don't know, but it's such an unfair comparison right now.
At the same time, Carlo, Suzuki's fucking good, man.
Yeah, he's really good.
I was going to say, either way, we would still love to have Suzuki back in the line.
So hold on. Let me ask you guys a question. Who's our best forward right now?
Mark Stone.
Mark Stone. Dave?
AJ?
Mark Stone.
Okay, how many years did Mark Stone play in the AHL?
Forever. Like, so many years.
He played two full years in the AHL. If Glass was sent to the AHL, this would be his second AHL year. And last year, he wasn't even fully in the AHL because he got injured.
Yeah.
Everybody needs to calm the fuck down when it comes to Cody Glass's development, okay? He has shown flashes again this year. He is going to be fine. Like, everybody wants to see Elias Patterson, right? Second year, second draft year, all of a sudden he's a stud. That's what everybody wants to see out of Cody Glass. That's not how contending teams do it. That's not how the Golden Knights are going to do it. So just understand he's not going to be that right now. He's getting third line minutes every other game.
And look at Zach Whitecloud, who, well, A, he was undrafted, but he came into, like, as a rookie later than most people would have expected age-wise. Like, and look at how good he is now because he had more time to develop and he did the right things.
And here, different players develop at different paces. Here's another big, huge example. If you look at Nathan MacKinnon, when he first came into the league, that wasn't considered one of the best players in the league, and he just kept developing, and now he's considered to be one of the best players in the league. He didn't get that moniker until he was like 24, 25.
Yeah, not everybody,
not like Connor McDavid, who was like 18, you know.
Yeah, or Sidney Crosby. Like, there's, those are like generational, like elite, best of the best NHL players.
I think MacKinnon is one of those.
I will say this about MacKinnon, though. He had the pedigree, though. They knew about the pedigree. They just knew it would take maybe a year or two before he actually brought it through. And he got hurt his first couple of years as well, too.
Yeah. Cody Glass got hurt. So be patient. Like, a lot of people are already labeling
Cody Glass. I'm gonna push back a little bit on MacKinnon. He was drafted in 2013. He played 82 games in the 2013-2014 NHL season. He scored 24 goals, 39 assists, and 63 total points. I'm going to push back on the fact that he didn't
just develop because he wasn't considered.
He was the first overall pick in 2013. He played 82 games and scored 24 goals. If that's not fucking good, I don't know what you look for in good, because that's fucking amazing. I'm just talking about
elevation, because now he's considered one of the best things. Because there was a few years where people were calling him a bust. You're wrong.
It's okay. It's a, I don't think
you're going to die on that hill, aren't you, Carlos?
Called him a bust.
He just said we're wrong, and he gave us why.
I'm sorry. I understand he had a couple down years, and that's why he signed his team-friendly contract. But if you play 82 games your natural rookie year, your draft year, and you score 24 fucking goals, I don't care how bad the team is. I don't care about any of that shit. You score 24 goals in the NHL when the year before you were living with a fucking billet family, you're gonna be a fucking superstar, okay? I'm sorry, Carlo. I think you were just thinking his 2 years after that were down and you forgot about his natural rookie year.
Yeah. Now, to go back through a little bit of history here on this too, like most dynasty teams that have been contenders for long periods of times, they didn't have rookies being like super studs in their lineups. The Oilers in the 80s didn't. The Wings, the Devils, and the Avalanche in the 90s didn't.
Blackhawks.
They had the Blackhawks in the 2000s. They were a young team, but they didn't have like rookies sending people to the Stanley Cup in their first year. It didn't happen. Based and on that, it's like it took time to. They may have had like some rookies in the lineups, but they weren't key contributors. They weren't like relied upon.
Yeah,
like some people think Glass should be relied upon right now.
Although, and then people
are bringing him down because of it.
Here's what I will say, and I could be completely wrong on this, but I fully believe that Glass between Stone and Pacioretty late in the year is still the move that they end up making. Now that
agree.
Now who knows where Stevenson goes when that happens, but that seems like the what they're setting up for, right? They're playing him on power play one. He fits their methodical style very, very well. Whereas Stevenson would fit a run and gun style much better.
I think he fits with Wah and Tuck, to be honest with
you. Agreed. That'd be the fastest line by a lot, like by a shitload.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Are you saying Stevenson?
Stevenson.
Yeah. Okay. I just wanted to make sure. Okay.
Tuck and Wah, yeah. Although the Kolesar Tuck and Wah was pretty decent today too.
No, Kolesar was good. I mean,
there was this one shift I remember where he was just protecting the puck so well with his body, and it ended up with him having a really good shot on goal. But you know, Kemper did Kemper things.
He was in on the play on the couple games ago when Theodore scored and then Petrangelo scored. I mean, he was in on the play. He hasn't been bad. Once again, it's nothing against Kolesar. It's what he represents in blocking Glass into the lineup that I have an issue with. Now, here's it's not going to happen. I completely understand. But Reeves is probably not play. I mean, that fourth line, you could actually have a real fourth line if you ended up going Carrier, Nosek,
Kolasar
instead of Reeves. And I get they're never taking Reeves out, so it's just a pipe dream to say it. But I think that's the future of the team.
My counter argument on that, though, is because the game we lost, the fourth line was actually one of our best lines. The Carrier, Nosek, and Reeves, they actually did like had good puck possession, and they're the only ones who actually kept the puck in the opponent's zone.
They also get very favorable starts. If you watch the games and don't just look or whatever, if you actually sit there and watch the games and when starts happen and stuff like that, after power play, that line's coming out offensive zone, right? I mean that line gets a lot of offense.
I mean that's what they're for, though. They're there to grab momentum and they do their job. That's what they're for. They don't rely on them to score and stuff,
you know? Right, but I'm not gonna lie, Carlo, I would say a huge chunk of that is the fact that William Carrier is both fast and huge and will just barrel through the offensive zone with his own possession. Like he did that like four or five times.
But I don't think Reeves has played bad, though.
He hasn't played bad. But
I was impressed with the way Nosek played today.
Yeah, Nosek was really good, too.
But yeah.
So I understand what you're trying to say, Eric, where you put Kolasar and take Reeves out, but I don't think Reeves right now deserves to be benched because I don't think he's played really. I think he's been doing his job and he's doing.
Trying to say is, okay, if there's a way to get Glass into the lineup and somebody has to come out in order to get Glass in the lineup, it's Kolasar. What team, if you are fielding a team of 12 forwards, is Glass one of the best 12 forwards on this team?
Yes.
Is Kolasar one of the 12 best forwards on this team?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. Then you take him out. I don't know. To me, it's Nosek, Kolasar, Carrier, Reeves. Obviously that's your fourth line. Yeah. It's one of those four should come out. I just don't know which one.
Yeah.
Because
Glass needs to play. That's the biggest issue. Yet.
I don't think you need Reeves and Carrier. And I don't think you've ever needed Reeves and Carrier because they're both headhunting at the same time when you just need one headhunter.
Kolasar does the same thing too, though.
He has much more skill than either of those two have ever shown.
Yeah,
he has much more finishing ability. Yes. He's got a better shot. I mean, look, he scored 20-something goals in the AHL. Like, Reeves never did. Carrier's
actually a scoring junior.
A junior, not at a professional level. I was just saying professional level.
I don't know. It's tough. Like, I don't know how they're going to figure out, but the thing is they really do need to play Glass. Yeah. And like you said earlier, I think if they waive Kolasar now, he's probably going to get claimed.
And are they trying to set up a trade with one of these fourth liners?
Who? Which one, though?
Kolasar, Carrier, Reeves? I don't know.
I know, yeah, but... Because Carrier and Reeves, they just signed recently.
Nosek, too.
Well, Nosek signed a one-year deal.
Yeah.
So understand that they realize that he's not the future. I get that. They signed him to a one-year deal. Reeves signed in the right at the beginning of COVID, or not, I guess, sometime before the season restarted for that 1.75 or whatever. And Carrier signed a four-year deal. So Carrier is not going anywhere. You got to take him off the board, right? So it comes down to Nosek, Kolasar, and Reeves if you're looking to move one of them.
And here's the problem with Nosek is he's the only natural center out of all those four.
But I don't think you're in that big of a hurt because of Stevenson, Waugh. I mean, you have some. You can become thin if you lose. You become thin if you lose Nosek. You're right.
Yeah, Kolasar has played some center in the AHL, but it was rare. I don't trust him as a center. So Nosek is. I think we need.
I just to keep think up. I think they're going to get to the point until they have banked enough cap space to be able to take one of them out of the lineup as a healthy scratch instead of the taxi squad, and then you'll actually see it. So whether it be taking Reeves out as a healthy scratch or Nosek or Carrier or any of them just to give them a night off, right? Because keep in mind, we're six games into the season. It's 56 games in 110 days. Like it's an absolute sprint. So there will be forwards that need time off but don't need LTIR, like a week off, right? You can give somebody a day off here or there. So I think that's what they're trying to get to, is to the point where you have enough cap space where you can give one of them a night off here or there.
Do you think Nosek would be claimed if he goes on waivers?
I don't believe so. I don't think he would.
I don't think he would, but I don't think the management wants to risk it. Because, like I said, if you lose Nosek, you're going to be even more thin at center.
They haven't been put in the position to where they would have to risk it to lose it. I don't think he would be, and I don't think they're going to take that chance. Also, not to go off on a completely different tangent, how about the fact that we haven't even heard Nick Holden's name since he got sent down?
I mean, I think we kind of figured that he was the odd man out if you want to play Nick Hague, who was really good this game, him and White Cloud, by the way.
Well, and it's because Hague's waiver is exempt, so they can just bounce him back and forth infinitely. Yeah. Versus Holden, they'd have to run through waivers, and he probably wouldn't make
it. No, he already cleared waivers. So as long as he doesn't play like seven games up or whatever the threshold is now, it might actually be the full 10-game threshold. I don't know that they
changed that. I think it's seven.
When Hague and White Cloud are just like a natural – like, you know, match made in heaven, because they played all that time in the AHL together. It's translating to the NHL. So I don't think we'll see Holden unless somebody gets injured.
I think the biggest thing for Hague, and it'll go back to the same thing that we need to see from Glass, or have seen a little bit and need to continue to see, they look comfortable, right? Hague looks confident when he's making decisions. So he's not, when he got the puck last year, he was just, get it off my stick. Now he's taking a second, finding the right read, making the play. So I think he looks a lot more confident.
Yeah, he took a lot of shots today too. And I thought, I tweeted this saying that they are our third pair, but it doesn't look like it. They were so good. They look like a
middle pairing. Like,
yeah, they look like a middle pair. You look like a top four defensive pair. And I don't think they were sheltered either, too. I think they were playing against
they looked really good today.
Yeah.
We can't bring Holden up because of the cap.
Yeah, the cap.
No, without injury. I'm just saying it's funny that you haven't even heard his name. Nick Hague did have the least amount of defensive minutes today at all situations. He played 15 minutes today.
Okay.
Whereas Alec Martinez led the team in ice time and D pairs in ice time at 23 minutes.
So never 13 and 5 again, basically.
Which makes sense a little bit for Hague.
That makes sense because he doesn't play any – actually, he plays power play. He doesn't play PK, though.
Yeah,
which
makes sense for Hague a little bit because he is the newer because I think White Cloud is established. We all know that he's freaking amazing.
Oh, he's here to stay.
And Hague is. I feel like they're still kind of looking how he develops, especially in defensive zone because he's more known. Everybody thinks Hague is a defensive defenseman. He's a defensive guy. And now White Cloud is his defensive partner, especially in the AHL.
When Hague is, I've noticed that from. Compared to last year, I think his skating has improved a little bit.
Yes. He's quicker. He's quicker and faster.
And he takes off quicker. It used to take him a couple steps to really move anywhere. Because, I mean, the guy is an actual giant.
He's 6'6". Yeah, he's 6'6". Mm-hmm. They say that with his wingspan and his stick, I mean, it's crazy.
Like 20 feet.
Yeah, it's stupid. Yeah.
It's crazy. Yeah. They were saying that Nick Hague, what made him drop to the second round was because of his skating. And that's what he really improved on through his development. And I think he's a pretty decent. There's a few times where he had to recover through defensively because he had to catch up because someone kind of broke off or took a steal or stuff, and he catches up. He recovers pretty well.
He would not have done that last season. He would have been behind the play at that point, and then especially with Holden on the other side, it would have been trouble. So I'm happy with seeing what he's been doing with White Cloud especially, but I think it was really perfect pairing those guys up at the NHL level to see how they did.
He did have a really dangerous pinch though, but nothing happened to it. So because they got the puck back, but it was really scary.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hague showed lots of promise in juniors in his draft year, as Carlo was talking about. He had 18 goals, but his draft plus one, so
32
so his
goals.
First year, 35.
35.
Come on, buddy.
You said 18. You're even worse.
No. I'm saying he had 18 his draft year, and then the year plus one, he was 35. Calm down there, Buckaroo. Yeah. This is why you're wrong with Eric Solanas. Come on. Christ. I'm sitting there staring at the stats. Oh, you're wrong. But no, he hasn't shown that at the NHL level yet. And in his full AHL year, he had 13 goals. So, I mean, he has the ability. And I think, Dave, you and I were talking about this. How many – do you remember what was the number? How many posts he hit in last year when he was up with the team?
A lot. I don't remember how many, but he hit a lot of posts, especially there's like three or four games in a row he hit the post at least once a game.
Oh, yeah, I remember that now. I don't want to remember that.
So, I mean, he could have had four, five, six goals, and all of a sudden last year feels like a much better year if he had that instead of posting out, if it goes post and then.
He probably has the best slap shot, but probably other than Pacioretty in this team, to be honest with you. He's ridiculous.
Yeah, Hagerbaum.
Yeah, the Hager bombs.
So let's move on here and talk about the we talked about this a little bit earlier, but power play not doing awesome.
Let's not talk about the power play.
What power
play? Yeah,
we don't have a power play.
Absolute power.
The only thing I will say about that is real quick. It's like the first two games, I considered it rust, but against Arizona, you played against one of the top penalty kill teams, and that's all I'm going to say about that.
Yeah, because it's not like they didn't have opportunities too. Because, like I said, there was a few today. Just couldn't finish on a power play.
Now, what do you guys expect that we'll get at least a couple against St. Louis over the next couple of games?
Against Bennington, yes.
I don't know about I don't know to say a couple. You're playing two games. I mean, are you gonna go? It depends on how many you get. Let's say you get three a game, two a game, right? I mean, if you get two a game, are you going to go 2-for-4? I doubt it. But you could go 1-for-4. I think you'll improve your power play percentage coming out of that series. I won't say how many you get. I just think you'll improve your power play percentage.
So one thing I've noticed the last couple of years is this team, when it comes to the power play, has been streaky on the power play. They have their droughts, and then they have their floods.
Well, they're in a drought.
We're in a because they're playing in a desert, so... especially this next six games, like I said, St. Louis, San Jose, and LA, I think they'll have a much better power play success between these three teams. So I'm pretty certain they'll be fine.
I wanted to look at what's the team's PK percentage right now.
They're pretty good, actually. I think they only allowed three, right, this whole time. I think they allowed one against the Ducks and two against Arizona.
And can we
Don't quote me on that. But they've been pretty good.
And what was with – so there was that penalty in the game today on Sunday with the bench penalty. Like,
Steve
apparently grabbed the guy's stick. Like, why?
Not apparently. He did.
Yeah.
He did.
Why would you do that?
Because he was just trying to be sly about it to get it out of his hands. And guess what?
They got caught.
Guess what? There's cameras.
I mean, it doesn't matter. The refs just have to catch you. They can't review it.
Yeah.
He got caught.
So Vegas is 2-for-20 on the power play and 2-for-20 on the PK.
Oh, okay, well. Hey, they had less than I thought.
that's cool then, I guess.
And they have one goal on the PK. They have one shorthanded goal.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
That's right. So... yeah, the stats for a shorthanded goal are almost as close as many goals have been gotten on a power play. So, yeah, that's gonna be fun. Anything else before we take a quick commercial break and hop into some interesting around the NHL stuff?
Godzilla versus Kong looks really bad. And I have no
nobody
idea.
Nobody cares about those things. If you don't care about our fantasy teams, cares about that.
He's asked for anything else, and it just happened to be showing me a commercial for Kong versus Godzilla, and I was having a conversation with one of my buddies earlier. There is no way that Kong wins that because Godzilla has a laser. So if he doesn't use his laser properly, then that's on Godzilla. That's not on anybody else. So is Godzilla really that dumb?
It's going to be one of those movies that's really bad. It's good.
We didn't have enough nerding out with Carlo, so I had to just put my two cents in there. I apologize, but there's no way that Kong versus Godzilla is a real movie. And if it is a real movie, how in the fuck does Godzilla lose?
We're titling this episode. We have to title this episode now, Godzilla Has a Laser.
He does have a laser. Have you seen? Don't waste 2.5 minutes of your life watching the preview.
Actually,
really bad.
Mechagodzilla and Godzilla are two different guys. But
I could go watch this.
There we go. Thank you for helping me out, Carlos.
Let's move on.
Okay, right. Commercial break.
We're going to take a commercial break. We'll be right back to troll around the NHL a little and call it a day for today. So be right back.
What is up, everybody? Mikey CLT here from Bar Down Breakdown, letting you know that our 100th episode is going to be dropping exclusively on the Hockey Podcast Network on January 27th. We will be joined by special guest Derek from the amazing pop punk band State Champs. Make sure you subscribe and follow us on all our socials so you do not miss any of our amazing episodes. We are so pumped that we have made it to episode 100. And to thank you, we are running an Instagram contest where one lucky winner can win a Steez brand snapback hat. So head over to our Instagram and enter our contest. Also, if you are just hearing about Bar Down Breakdown, make sure you go and check out our 99 other episodes where we have had artists who have been nominated for Grammys, all the way down to artists who are unsigned, where we dive into the crossover between alternative music and hockey. So make sure you go and check out Bar Down Breakdown wherever you listen to podcasts, brought to you exclusively by the Hockey Podcast Network.
And we're back. All right, so around the NHL, let's just all talk about the big one first. So who wants to kick it off?
So here's what I think. So the big news was on Saturday morning, Pierre-Luc Dubois got traded to Winnipeg for Patrick Laine. Now here's the thing, everybody can make the joke. They both wanted bigger cities. Okay, I get it. But I think Dave made the point, and I heard it earlier, Pierre-Luc Dubois' father is in the AHL system as a coach. Is that right, Dave?
Yes.
Okay, so he's in that system. So he's going to be happy in Winnipeg. You can, whatever. The only thing, I like it, but it's a slippery slope. Young players have never had any leverage in the world. You get good, you get a bad first contract. They're finally now starting to get better second contracts, right? They're finally starting to get, after their entry-level deals, they're finally starting to get money, which is a nice change. But I think this is a slippery slope. If you have two elite young players that were drafted in 2016, so the year before Vegas came into the system, year before Cody Glass, they both come out and say, I want to be traded, and they get traded. They both took completely different paths to do it. Patrick Laine, to his credit, said he wanted out, showed up every day, played really hard, was fine. Pierre-Luc Dubois, I'm sorry. I agree with Shader's Tooth, or Theodore's Tooth, one of the Twitter handles that's very active. He looked like a bitch. Like, he was skating around aimlessly, like, just looked terrible.
He was being completely selfish.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's a very, very bad look for him, and he got rewarded for it, which I dislike that aspect of it.
Yeah, I was going to say something like that. Like, a lot of people, when the Pierre-Luc Dubois rumors got started, like, some Vegas fans were like, oh, we should trade for him. Like, look what he's doing. Do you really want that in your locker room? You know what I mean? It's like, he's a great player, but
he'll do it again.
Like, there's a culture this Vegas is building right now, to be honest with you.
It just depends on, you know, what the locker room's like in Winnipeg, yeah, since he's there. But whatever the locker room he would have ended up in, if they had good veteran leadership, they wouldn't tolerate that shit.
Yeah.
But
yeah, everybody, you know, wanted to blame Tortorella, and I get Tortorella is not the most player-friendly coach in the world. I get that. I'm not even trying to defend him. That's for another day, whether you think he's a good coach or not. This had nothing to do with Tortorella. Tortorella had to bench him after that lackluster effort. Otherwise, he risked losing the team.
Exactly.
And you can't risk losing the team for a kid that's already said he is demanding to get out. Yeah. And now they've come out and said there could be stuff under the behind the scenes, right? Maybe he just didn't fit into that locker room. Maybe they were one way and he was another. Who knows which way? I'm not going to speculate. But there could be more behind the scenes. So maybe give him a benefit of the doubt that way. But I, like I said, I just don't love that he's getting rewarded for demanding out and playing really bad. So,
yeah. And who won that trade, though? Is it Columbus? Because they got
Columbus.
Columbus.
People were saying Winnipeg, and I don't see how that makes sense. Laine is the higher producer, technically, right?
Yeah.
Look, here's the thing. If you're looking at it strictly on a trade thing, it's as close to a win-win as you could have, right? So Columbus gets a center that was drafted in the first round the year before, Jack Roslovic, was drafted in, was a first round draft pick.
Yep.
So he still has a lot of pedigree, and you get a natural goal scorer, which is the one thing that you struggle with the most. So that helps them. If you're Winnipeg, you get a player that's willing to sign their long term, that's willing to help you out down the middle, right? Because Stastny, they're not re-signing him after this year, yeah. So they lose that center depth. He can all of a sudden step in and be that second-line center. I think it's good for both teams. And actually, Winnipeg had – if they were going to lose anything, they could lose a winger. They probably just needed a defender instead of another center, but that's neither here nor there. So I think it's as close to a good trade for both. If I were to say who wins it, I wouldn't say you could say that until after they both re-sign. If they both re-sign, then you can look at it.
I was actually going to mention Stastny there because they just traded Stastny. Now they asked for another center. Stastny has not been producing for them, to be honest with you.
He scored a power play goal last night. Beautiful power play goal last night.
Oh, we could have used that power play goal here in Vegas.
It was a beautiful passing play, but that was all set up by Scheifele behind the net. Stastny just swung the stick.
Those guys got to be in quarantine for a week too.
No, it just I think Laine's fine. I think it's Canada didn't require
that.
No, Laine coming down still has to quarantine for 7 days. Dubois going up has to pair it. It's two weeks, so that sucks.
No, they said it was seven. I read there for the player it had been seven days.
I thought it was required by Canada.
I mean, I could be wrong, but you know.
I'm pretty sure it's seven coming down, 14 going up, because that is a Canadian government thing. That's why though.
Yeah, but
Edmonton having
with
such
normal
a...
thing for normal people like our people that we know that went to Canada at 14, but I think they made an exception for athletes.
Well, we will have the answer next time we record. If he plays in a game, we'll have the answer. If he doesn't, we'll all laugh at Dave for being wrong.
I don't give a shit.
We already have too many of those. We already have a lot of that segment, Eric. Just calm down.
I know. I'm sorry.
All right. Anyways, next thing. I'll take this one. So a bunch of the Russian Caps players are in COVID protocol, and they got their team fined $100,000 because I don't know what was the backstory. Were they out and about like?
No, they were. So four Russians went to one room after the game, right? If you look, this is another one that I'm just divided on myself, right? Like they can all hug each other on the ice, they can all high five each other, they can all sit on a bench right next to each other, but as soon as they go into a room, all of a sudden we're worried about COVID. But I forgot who I was listening to. One of the podcasts this week made a great point on this. The league hates the fact that San Jose can't currently play in their home stadium. So the league is trying to make sure that all these governments, all these state governments and national governments, think that the league is taking it seriously. So if you have protocols in place, you have to take those protocols seriously. Otherwise, Santa Clara or whatever county they're in up there is going to say, hey, guys, as a league, you're not taking it seriously. We're not letting this team back in here. So that's why the league came down so hard on them. And I get it from that perspective. It just doesn't make a whole lot of sense when you think of it logically. Like, okay, they literally just high-fived each other. They could lick each other on the fucking cheek on the ice, but they can't go sit.
We're not talking about Marchand right now.
Marchand's different team. This is why you're wrong, Eric.
So I get it, but I don't get it, if that makes sense. It's just kind of it's a goofy situation, but I understand it from the league's point of view, right? If you have protocols in place, you collectively bargain these protocols. Everybody said yes to them, but it's also partially on the team for not having a place that they could go, because they're supposed to have a conference room style set up that is safe, that the players can go and hang out at, whether it be with video games or whatever, to where they can socially distance properly. So it could be partially on the team as well for not providing that safe place for the Russians.
Unless it was, you know, Koozie's room and they were all going to do some lines or whatever, right?
No, that was not his cocaine in Vegas after they won the cup. That was, as soon as he saw it, he left the room.
Yep. Well,
the other weird thing is, I don't know if you guys have noticed, but when Mark or whoever the goalie is, whether it's Marc-Andre Fleury or Leonard that's on the bench that game, they have to wear a mask. And then the coaches have to wear a mask. It's like they're not standing 2 feet away from each other or with each other all the time. The optics of it are so strange. Like you said,
it's all optics.
It's optics. It is optics. That's what it is.
Yeah.
Really.
But here's the thing. Here how much has changed in the last, whatever, 10 months. When I watch a post-game show or a pre-game show with Millard and why can't I think of the goalie's name?
McKenna.
With Mike McKenna. I don't like that they're so close. Like, you can move them 6 feet apart and be fine. You don't have to have them staring through a plexiglass like they're longing for each other's to say how good their eyes look. Like, you can move them further apart. Same thing with when I see somebody inside a building that's not socially distanced and they don't have a mask on, I freak out. So it's just, it's funny how much has changed in the past 10 months. I'm cool with people wearing masks inside on the bench, like wear a mask all the time.
Wear a mask.
Just get this behind us, guys. Just wear a fucking mask.
All right, who wants to take the next one here?
I guess I can take Carey Price of Montreal Canadiens. Won his 350th game, obviously all with the same franchise. Congratulations to him. It's, you know, it'd be nice for him one of these days to win a cup, like we used to say with, you know, Lundqvist. But it, I don't know. He's just an awesome goalie to watch.
I think it's he's the youngest goalie ever to get to 350. He got there faster than anybody else. That's, I mean, people can sit there and say whether he's great or not. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
You guys and both look at me like lot. I'm wrong on that one.
He's going to have a lot, too, this year because Montreal looks really good.
They look fantastic. Also, I am totally here. I'm sorry for any Vancouver fans that might listen to this or stumble upon this. I am absolutely here for the Jim Benning revenge tour. Tyler Toffoli comes in and scores six against them. Markstrom shuts them out. Like, I mean, they are just getting absolutely throttled by Vancouver Canucks. It's fucking awesome.
I feel bad for Nate Schmidt, man. He's having such a hard time over there.
He's having a rough start to the year. But here's the thing, and I really hope that we get some listeners to come and chirp at me on this one. He was fucking bad last year, guys. Like, he was actually bad last year.
I said that the whole season. I'm like, I don't like the way he's playing this year. And
I think he had one good year.
And no, he's good. It's just it's top minutes. It's top minutes. I'm like, no, dude, he keeps turning it over in our zone.
He had one good year here, and it was his first year. It was the expansion year. He was good. Then he got injured the second year. He was not the same after the knee injury. No, hold on. He got popped for steroids the second year. Sorry. He was not good after he didn't have the juice.
Injury also happened that same year.
It happened later in the year, right?
And it happened the next year. It happened the
– didn't he get injured, like, the last preseason game?
Yeah. He got injured twice now that I think about it, because he got injured once in year two or three or whatever – or year two. And then in the, like, third game of the regular season last year, he had that knee collision with the Sharks. Because I was at
that was after the knee injury, because I remember everybody freaked out, and then he was actually fine after that knee collision. Yeah, I don't know. We're getting it all mixed up. It doesn't matter. Schmidt's no longer here. Hey, we love his attitude. We love his personality. I'm happy to upgrade Petro for Schmidt.
I was going
to
say, we also love that he's not turning it over in our zone anymore.
That was
painful.
I saw that. That's what happens. We would love him to do
doesn't cover his ass.
you got a good point then, Dave. If we were playing Vancouver, we'd love it, right?
Yeah.
No, but I love Schmidt's attitude. I own a Schmidt jersey. Like, I just like.
He's a also, sunshine. if you want a Schmidt jersey, you can get one for $100 at VegasTeamStore.com. There's your plug.
We're not sponsored by VegasTeamStore.com.
Not yet.
Not with Jesus. That. We're working on it. We're not
getting there with that attitude.
Is that my phone's ringing right now? Oh no!
Oh, nice.
All right, Carlo, you wanna
speaking of injuries, though, top line winger of the Toronto Maple Leafs, Joe Thornton.
It is factually accurate.
Yeah, is out for at least 1 month with a rib fracture. Oh man.
So here's my question. Before we, Dave, I'll let you make your point in 1 second. I apologize. Did we feel that we didn't talk about the Leafs enough? Because, I mean, Canada's going to talk about them plenty. We don't need to talk about them on a fucking Vegas. Go ahead. Sorry, Dave. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, it says out at least a month. Like the dude's just a couple months younger than me. I think that's going to be longer than a month. I mean, I'm old. I feel that.
So hold on my point on the Canadian media. Does everybody realize right now that all of these national award winners are going to be from the North Division?
Yeah.
They have the most writers that vote on it. They're only watching the Canadian teams. if you look at Twitter and you follow anybody other than Vegas thinks, today they played at the same time. Vegas was playing at the same time as Toronto and Calgary. The only tweets you saw were Toronto and Calgary, unless it was coming from a Vegas-based person. So all the national media is covering that. All of your award winners are coming out of the North Division. Just understand that. So if you want to talk about the Norris, cool. Find the best defenseman that's in Canada. You want to talk about the Lady Being? You want to talk about the... It's not Nate Schmidt. It could be Huggy Bear Quinn Hughes.
It's not Quinn Hughes. It's Shabbat,
the Norris.
Canadians, Petrie?
Patrick.
Shabbat?
Yeah. Shabbat, possibly. Oh. He's playing a ton of minutes, yeah.
Think Petrie, like, from Canadians, he's fucking... He's...
Petrie, yeah. I've always liked the way he played.
What, Suzuki's going to win the Selke?
No, Selke. None of them know how to play defense if they're forwards in Canada.
Suzuki and the Selke, fuck me. if Suzuki wins any national award, I don't even want to be around for it. Like, I don't want to be around.
Yeah,
for
I don't want to hear. Have
traded for him. Here's the thing, guys. Pacioretty is playing really fucking well. Like, Suzuki is playing, yes, absolutely really well. You would love to have that entry-level contract playing that well. But look, I think Pacioretty is performing at the exact level you wanted him to perform at. So
that was a win-win trade for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. And
in 3 years, it's going to look like shit. But I mean, you got 6 years out of that trade, which is what you wanted for in a win-now mode. Vegas, look, I'm not saying they have to win a cup. It would make it a lot better. But Vegas should probably take advantage over the next 5 years.
Don't forget the throwaway, Tomas Tatar.
Yeah. He's playing really well, too.
Not so much this year. He hasn't had a good start to the year. He played really well last year, though. Mm-hmm. First 2 years for him.
He just didn't fit with Vegas, though. That's the thing.
He fucking should have. He just didn't fit with Turk. God, don't get me on a fucking Turk
tangent. Yeah. On that note, I think we're going to take a breather and come back next week.
Yeah. No more wasting our time on Turk.
All right, guys. Thanks for listening this week. Fucking go to VegasTeamStore.com to get your Nate Schmidt $100 fucking jersey.
Here's our plug.
We're really not sponsored by them, but do it anyway.
Not yet. But if you want a $100 Nate Schmidt jersey, he was a fantastic fucking misfit. Go get it. $100. VegasTeamStore.com.
Yeah, so we'll be back
off on this shit.
Oh yeah, and we'll be back next week with hopefully some more good news about how much.
Hold on. Here, let's. I think we all fucking gave our predictions last week. I think we all said 3-1, and that's what happened. How many games do they have coming up this week? Is it three?
Two. Three, two, just two, right?
No, I think it's three. No, I think between the time we record.
No, it's two. It's two.
Yeah.
They only play two because they have a three-day
break. It's because this one is technically this week. So I.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Fair enough. Okay, so they two games. I mean, whatever. I say 1-1. Whatever. Fuck it.
I'm a homer, so I say they split. Not a split, sweep. They sweep.
I'm a homer, so they only lose one. Wait, what? Are you saying
homer,
they sweep better?
I'm homer, they sweep.
Go ahead, Dave.
I say Vegas does take two, but at least one of them goes to overtime.
Okay.
I'm actually going to go 101. I think that they'll bring one to overtime and lose it and win another one, possibly in overtime, because they're weird with St. Louis in overtime.
We all have different predictions, so that's good.
Hey, so one of us will be right. Actually, unless they go fucking 0-2.
Yeah, let's go. Both games.
Yeah.
0-2 or 0-1-1.
Yeah. So anyways, we'll be back next week to let you know how those predictions went and chat about some more fun stuff. So thanks, everybody, for listening. And until next week.
Godzilla has lasers.
Peace out.
But he's got actual lasers. If he loses, he is the biggest fucking. That's the biggest choke job in the world. If he fucking loses, is worse than Vegas being allowing four goals on a fucking power play. If he loses that,
that's. I think what's gonna happen is because Mechagodzilla is different from Godzilla itself. So what's gonna happen is, in this movie, my prediction is Kong and Godzilla is gonna team up, beat Mechagodzilla.